There are many rumors circulating here that this is the week. The best trade against Great Britain is supposed to start, according to these reports. However, as rumors are a dime a dozen, they can be only judged as that. But they have a psychological value, and the average German on the street seems to be prepared by the constant repetition of threats such as "Now for England" and the like. Today, for instance, the Berlin papers carry big stories that the upper classes in England are attempting a mass evacuation to America. There are reports in these papers, indirect to be sure, that the American legation in Lisbon and the American embassy and consulate in London are flooded with applicants requesting the United States entry visas. Professor Bierbacher states that the rich people are letting down the lower classes by their attempts to leave England. Quote, "They are following their money, which has long since left for America in gold bars and exchange securities. That is the signal for the British future." Unquote. Well, that is an idea of the general tone of the press. Yesterday, the capture of the British Channel Islands of Guernsey and Jersey was reported by the Germans. The other small islands of that rocky group off the French coast are also under German control. Among them is the island of Sark, ruled independently by the Dame of Sark, with her American husband as the Signor of Sark. She has a special charter from the King of England, allowing her to govern the island as she sees fit, without any interference from London. This tiny domain is the oldest completely independent principality in the United Kingdom. It is expected here that the State Department in Washington may request the German government to grant an extension in time necessary for the closing down the American legation in The Hague and in other capitals now controlled and occupied by German troops. According to a note yesterday delivered by the German Foreign Office, the American government is requested to shut down its diplomatic missions in Belgium, Holland, Luxembourg, and Norway. This is supposed to be done by July 15th, or in less than 2 weeks' time. As it is pointed out here, more time is granted by the Germans to the Americans and other diplomatic missions to close their embassies and legations in Prague and Vienna, following the German occupation of those countries. For instance, the American legation in The Hague is taking care of the interests of seven countries in addition to its routine duties. These countries are Great Britain, France, Belgium, Luxembourg, Canada, Egypt, and South Africa. Then there are approximately 650 Americans in Holland, stranded there without communication with the outside world. Of this number, over 350 have asked the American legation to help them to leave the country as soon as possible. However, no particular progress along this line has been reported as yet. In Belgium, there are approximately 70 Americans who have asked to be evacuated. But with a general war situation, the problem for Americans of finding both steamship accommodations and a port to leave is becoming more and more difficult. The French coast is in the hands of the Germans. The Mediterranean is a naval battleground. There are no accommodations available at the Arctic port of Petsamo in Finland. And the task of trying to get from Germany or Italy to Spain and Portugal is almost impossible without special credentials such as a diplomatic passport. The French government will be allowed to operate a radio station under German supervision for a special, an official broadcast. It is reported here. The French radio service will be established in Paris for this purpose, to be controlled by the Germans. And official speeches, like those recently made by General Pétain, will be broadcast to the French people. Banks are to be reopened in Paris in a few days. However, as expected, their transactions will be limited because of the occupation and the general upset in the financial situation. There's a brief note in the papers today that henceforth, Germans who wish to purchase a bicycle will have to get a special permit. And bikes will only be sold to those who show that they are in real need of this form of transportation. This is Edwin Hartridge, I'll return you now to Columbia, New York.
Now more news from Europe, this time to the Italian capital for the report by Cecil Brown. Go ahead, Rome.
This is Rome. General mobilization is to be decreed in Hungary at midnight tonight. This was announced in a dispatch from Budapest appearing in today's Rome newspaper, Il Messaggero. However, an authorized source told me a few minutes ago that the Italian government has no official notice of such mobilization. Writes that the Hungarian-Romanian frontier are reported in the fascist press that 30 persons have been killed. All army leaves have been canceled, and the Budapest Dispatch says Hungary expects unusual developments. According to reports here, the Romanians and Bulgarians also have been fighting at their frontier. The Hungarian news agency issued a denial of any border disturbances, but no one in Rome takes that denial very seriously. Yesterday, the fascist press reported that Hungary is resolved to settle her claims peacefully. Today, it repeats that same hope, but strongly indicates that Hungary means to grasp Pennsylvania if Romania will not give it up at once. As Nicola Favors see it, the dynamite situation in the Balkans amounts to this. With the approval of the Axis powers, Hungary is making a show of force to convince King Carol that Budapest, backed by Rome and Berlin, means business. It's felt here that Hungary will not move without the go-ahead signal from Hitler and Mussolini. The dictators will not give that signal if it appears Romania would resist, because that means a Balkan war and the end of Southeastern Europe as a source of surprise for the Axis. The Russian occupation of Bessarabia and northern Bukovina was not as peaceful as the press stories here had insisted. Newspaper Messenger reports today that two hospital trains arrived in Bucharest from the Soviet-occupied areas. These Romanians were injured because, whatever their orders were, they resisted the Russian occupation. Marshal Gratiani, the grim-faced, hard-boiled commander-in-chief of the Italian armies in North Africa, expected to launch a major attack against the British forces in Egypt in the next few days. Gratiani is the successor to Marshal Balbo, who died in his clearing of grain in Libya the other day. Gratiani is partial to the dynamic type of warfare and is especially able at handling motorized units. Not one of us can envy those soldiers on the sands of Libya at this time of the year. I've been through that desolate desert frontier area. There are few places more barren and few places any hotter. Soldiers very quickly drop from exhaustion in that intense heat. Water is scarce and there's no shade to be found. Not even imagining yourself in a cool mountain stream or picturing yourself half buried in snow helps very much. The war communique issued an hour ago revealed the preparatory stages of this attack on the Libyan-Egyptian frontier. The high command reports that Italian planes at the Egyptian frontier bombed British armored units, setting some afire and damaging others. But in the action, two Italian planes were shut down. The communique says fascist planes in the southeast Mediterranean surprised and repeatedly bombed a large convoy of enemy ships. The action was described as one of great effectiveness, but no results are given. Italian planes are daily striking at British concentrations which failed the Red Sea and the eastern approaches to Ethiopia. A raid on Berbera in British Somaliland ran yesterday. They bombed the port and supply stores. The Italians say they repulsed a British raid on Massawa in Italian East Africa. The high command claims two raiding planes were shot down and ships near the coast brought down another in flames. British planes, evidently from Malta, bombed Egypta, a town in Sicily. One British plane was brought down. Even as they said, the damage to Augusta was insignificant, but three people were injured. This is Cecil Brown in Rome, returning you to Columbia in New York.
And with this late news from Rome, Columbia concludes this morning report of European developments, which comes to you each morning at this time and at 6:45 each evening, Eastern Daylight Saving Time. We've listened to Erland Eklund reporting from London, Edwin Hartridge from Berlin, and Cecil Brown from Rome. Larry Elliott speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.